Verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer before we continue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is so much wonderful truth in Your Word, in these verses that we've just looked at. Lord, even now as we've read these verses, Lord, You've spoken to our hearts. And Lord, we just pray that You would teach us this morning, Lord, on how we can have victory and walk in victory, Lord, during the times of persecution and of suffering, Lord, that we will face as Christians. Lord, help us not to be soon easily moved. Lord, help us to grow. And Lord, may Your word strengthen us this morning and help us as adults, Lord, and young adults, Lord, to live for You in this day in which we are called to serve You in. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to look at being strong in your trials. Now, as Christians, we will all face difficulties and trials. But remember, as we look at the book of 1 Peter, these believers were facing a specific trial, weren't they? A specific kind of suffering. The Bible says there in verse 12, Peter wrote to them and he said that, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try, which is to try you. Remember, the book of 1 Peter, the theme of the book is what? What is the theme? Can you remember? One word starting with S. Suffering, that's right. These were suffering Christians, suffering believers in a day where the Christians were the ones to blame for the bad things that were happening in the world. Emperor Nero was a great persecutor of those who claimed to be Christians, and they were put to death in horrific ways and suffered great torture. And so, yes, we will face trials in different areas of our lives, but the suffering that these verses are referring to is when you and I live as a Christian and we seek to live for the Lord and we receive persecution from the world. We receive rejection from those around us. And notice what Peter says in verse 12, just as an introduction. He says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." In other words, he's saying, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised as Christians when things get difficult. Don't be surprised as Christians when people don't like you for living for the Lord. You know, sometimes we think that because we're saved and God is changing us and we are becoming better people once we are saved and He's changing our lives, sometimes we think, well, that means that those around us, even if they're not saved, they'll like us more. But in fact, the Bible says it's the opposite. It is the opposite. The Bible says, in fact, think it not strange when you face trials, when you receive reproach, rejection for your stand for God. And in this lesson, we need to be reminded that suffering is a part of the Christian life. And that's why the Bible says, think it not strange. Because sometimes we forget, don't we? That as Christians, we will suffer. As Christians, we need to be prepared to be rejected. Now, there in your notes, Matthew chapter 16, can you see those verses there? Matthew chapter 16, verse... Actually, I haven't put them in. Let me read them for you. Matthew 16, verse 21. The Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem," and the Bible says, "and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day." So there in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus began to tell His disciples about the suffering that He will face. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't escape suffering for the gospel, did He? Absolutely not. In fact, He is our greatest example, isn't He, of faith. And the Holy Son of God receiving the rejection of the world, the rejection of sinful mankind, the rejection of his own, not just of the world around him, but of his own, Israel, the ones, the apple of God's eye. And remember, he was as he went to the cross, the suffering increased. Not only when it came to the hatred of those around him, but then the physical suffering, the physical torment and pain. Remember, as we saw in the book of the Revelation, he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Remember, that word slain means to be tortured, butchered. That's what happened to our Lord Jesus. Now, he suffered. Now, remember when the Lord said this to his disciples, that he was going to suffer, he was going to face rejection and be killed and raised again. Do you remember who was the one who spoke up and said, no, that mustn't happen? Who spoke up? That's right, Peter. Peter. Now, that's an interesting event in the Scriptures. Peter spoke up and he said to the Lord, no, that can't be. You can't let that happen. That's not how it should be. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You know, Peter's like we are. Well, we are like Peter, are we not? Sometimes we forget that on this side of eternity, as Christians, we will face suffering. We will experience rejection. And the Lord knew what was coming up, but Peter didn't. And remember what the Lord said to Peter? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter wasn't Satan, but he was thinking like the God of this world. And he didn't want to face persecution. He didn't want the Lord to be killed and to be slain. And the Lord reminded him that the things that be of God, the truth of God, is that the world will not applaud us and not thank us for being a Christian. People will not thank you. In fact, the Christian life is a thankless life. And we need to understand that. Because we are not in heaven, are we? Not yet. We are not with the Lord in his presence forever. We are in a world that has rejected the Savior. And Christ gave us his greatest example when he came to this world, when he suffered and died on the cross. And although we'll never experience, as Christians today, the sufferings of Christ that he experienced in the fullest extent, and in fact, let me dare say, we won't experience the extent of persecution in our day that the believers that Peter wrote to will experience, you and I will also, though, experience a measure of rejection, won't we? A measure of persecution for our faith. So how can we be strong when we are rejected? How can we be strong and have victory? This is the subject of these verses. Notice Roman numeral number 1. We learn about the certainty of our suffering. So your first blank is the word certainty. If you miss any blanks, they're on the back at the bottom of your page. The certainty of our suffering. Notice that suffering is not an if, but a when. It's not an if, but a when. Because verse 12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. You see, we will, as Christians, face rejection. There will be fiery trials. And God says, and Peter's writing to these Christians, don't think that this is a strange thing. Don't think that this is something that should not be happening. You see, God has allowed these trials because remember, though you may be facing rejection, God allows it. You know, when these believers were suffering horrifically for the gospel, God was allowing it. He was allowing it for a reason so that he might work in their lives for his glory, and likewise, God wants to do a work in our lives. Now, I know how I am, and maybe you're the same. If we were in control of our lives and everything around us, we would have absolutely no suffering. Wouldn't that be right? We would choose no pain, no sorrow, no tears, no difficulties. Now, can you imagine how weak in our faith we would be if we had control of our lives? You see, God knows what is best for us. He knows what we need. And the Bible says here in the book of 1 Peter, the fiery trial. Elsewhere in the scriptures, the Bible speaks about the fiery trial, which is to try you. You know, just like gold, when it's dug out of the earth, it is full of impurities, gunk that needs to be burnt away, and it can only be gotten rid of and purified as gold only through the heat and the intensity of a fiery purifying process. Now, although the process is fiery, the result is glorious. And that's what the Lord is seeking to do in our lives as Christians. Through the trials, we can have victory through them. And yes, there, it is a certainty that we'll experience suffering, but through them, the Lord wants us to grow. Amen? He wants us to grow in faith. When we face difficulties, isn't it true that those are the times that we really learn how to pray? You know, if we had an easy, smooth life without any suffering, I wonder how many of us would pray. And you know, I speak from experience. When we face very, very traumatic, tough, difficult times, that's when we really learn to have patience. When the Lord seems afar off and we are waiting on Him and facing difficulties that cannot be explained, and we just need to learn to trust in the promises of God. You know, it's in those times, in those certain times of suffering, that we move forward in the Christian life, and God is doing a deeper work in us. Notice verse number 13. God says, instead of being shocked and complaining, the Bible says, but rejoice. We are to rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. So God is saying here, very simply, that if when we suffer, we are experiencing a measure of what Christ experienced. Isn't that what the Bible says? As we suffer, we get to experience, not the full extent, thank the Lord, which we will never experience, but a measure of what Christ experienced, His sufferings. We are partakers of His sufferings. And what is the purpose of that? Verse 13, look again. That when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You see, as we suffer like the Lord, we get to know Him more. You see, when we get saved, Christ is our Savior. But as we grow, He becomes more and more our friend, our Lord, our King. You see, it's one thing to have a Savior, it's another thing to have the Lord as the Lord of our lives, a living relationship with the Lord. And the Lord wants us to know Him. He wants us to be transformed to be more like Him. How can we be more like the Lord? Well, simply, we need to experience more of what He experienced and experience the victory that the Lord gave us the greatest example of. And then when He returns, amen, when He catches up to meet Him in the clouds, let it be said that we know Him, amen. He knows us if we're saved, but do we know Him? Have we been growing as Christians in our faith? Have we been conformed to the image of Christ? So suffering is a certainty. God designs our trials not to destroy us, but to purify us, to change us for the good. Remember, fiery trials, the end of them, the result is purifying gold, purified gold. And that is the certainty of our suffering. So next time you face a trial, indeed if you're rejected for your faith, the question we need to ask more than, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? We need to ask the Lord, Lord, how? How can I respond in this situation? How would you have me to grow through this? That's the certainty of our suffering. Notice Roman numeral number 2, the cause of our suffering. Why do believers suffer? Well, verse 14 gives us the answer. Notice there, the cause of our suffering. Your second blank is the word cause. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Notice the word reproach. The word reproach means to be spoken evil of. So why do Christians suffer? It's because those who are not saved speak evil of the Lord and therefore will speak evil of us. Now, dealing with the same subject of trials and suffering, remember the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus," what does the Bible say? "Shall suffer persecution." So there's the certainty, but there's also the cause. Why do believers suffer? Because of a desire to live godly. Godly living brings suffering. Now remember, the Bible doesn't say that all Christians will face suffering. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus. That's why it's such a temptation to, when we face rejection, to not say anything and not be a witness anymore, not live for the Lord as much anymore. Because we think to ourselves, well, if I don't do that, I'll be more accepted in the world. And you know what? To a measure, that will happen. You will not face as much persecution and hatred and rejection if you keep your faith to yourself, if you don't live for the Lord, if you don't live godly in Christ Jesus. But let me dare say that is the worst way to live as a Christian, because the Lord promises we'll never be happy, we'll never grow, we'll never enjoy the blessings of a close relationship with the Lord. Godly living brings suffering. We will face rejection. We need to understand the cause of that rejection is the fact that we live in a fallen, unsaved world. Now, do you remember in the book of Judges what the Bible says? The Bible says in that day, every man did what? That which was right in his own eyes. Now, do you think that's a description of our day today? Absolutely. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And today we live in a day where mankind, the world, does not want the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, hey, no one tells me what to do. I'm the boss of my life. No one's going to run my life for me. No one's going to tell me what to do. And men don't want a Savior. They want their sins. In fact, they want to be left alone in their sin. Why? Because the Bible tells us very clearly that men love darkness rather than light. That means unsaved, for in our fallen nature, we are in love with darkness more than the light. And man just wants to be left alone in their sin, to go deeper and deeper and deeper into their sin. And when we as Christians, well, when we are saved, and when we start to live for the Lord, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? Ye are the light of the world. So we are in a place of darkness where men love darkness rather than light, and suddenly we are like walking candles. And when you and I live for the Lord, even just in a small measure, and we start to grow, we start to live for the Lord, suddenly our life, does it not, shines light on the sins of those around us. People start to see, hey, James isn't the same person he was before. Why isn't he enjoying sin with me like he did before? And suddenly my life, just by living for the Lord, not even saying anything yet, just living for the Lord, suddenly shines light upon the sins of others. Suddenly there's conviction. Suddenly there's, hey, you know, rejection. And then we start to share the gospel. And persecution comes. We need to understand that we will be reproached, just like verse number 14 says. We will be reproached. And I've been there before. I thought to myself, well, what have I done wrong? All I did was cry out for the mercy of God and be saved. What have I done wrong? And then we need to ask the same question of the Lord. What has the Lord done wrong? Did he do anything wrong? Yes or no? No. He is the innocent, spotless Lamb of God that was slain. He did nothing wrong, did he? Absolutely not. He faced the rejection of the world. And we need to understand this is the world that we live in. Why will we suffer? Because we live in a Christ-hating, Christ-rejecting world. And if Christ came today to this earth for the first time, this world would crucify him just the same. You see, man's nature hasn't changed. The nature of man only changes when he is supernaturally born again. Amen? That's when man is given a new nature. That's what happens at our salvation. So you see, we will face reproach as Christians. That's just a reality. That's what Peter's saying to these believers. He said, you know, you're going to face fiery trials. But there's a reason. There's a reason. You see, if you don't want to live in sin with someone who's not saved, they're not going to like you for that. They're not going to appreciate that. In fact, that will irritate them because they will come under conviction for their own sins. Isn't that true? Just by standards, godly living, new standards in your life, seeking to please the Lord more, getting more sin out of your life, what will happen? The Bible says we'll get more persecution. But the beauty of it is we'll be changing and we can live in victory because we have a wonderful Savior who will strengthen us, who will help us to grow, who will help us to overcome those trials. But we need to understand that that's a part of the Christian life. We need to be careful of the idea that, well, look, I'm a part of this world and, you know, I have my rights. I'm an Australian citizen. I have my rights. Oh, look, I might be saved, but no one talks to me like that. Well, hang on a second. My Bible tells me, as we've looked together, haven't we? And your Bible tells you also that we are not citizens of this world. We are pilgrims and what? Strangers. Strangers. You see, that's why Peter told them that. He said, look, you don't have rights. You may even be Roman citizens as the Apostle Paul, and likewise, just as him, you will be put to death. You don't have rights in the government of this world. No, you have a wonderful right and privilege of being a son of God, and with that privilege, you will face persecution. And we need to understand that that's the cause. A rejecting world will reject us. Notice what Peter said. On their part, in verse 14, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So here's the dividing line. On their part, those who aren't saved, what do? They speak evil of Christ. But on our part, he is glorified. Don't miss that. When we are rejected, it's an opportunity to give God the glory. It's an opportunity for God to work in our life. It's an opportunity to give glory to the Lord. You know, the danger is when we are rejected, we crawl into a ball and hide away in our homes and we don't say anything to anyone for weeks, and dare I say, may even come up with this solution in our minds that, well, I won't be a witness, I won't speak up for the Lord anymore if this is what's going to happen. And wouldn't the devil like to dim our lights? What do you think? Absolutely. That's what he wants. But you see, if we accept that rejection and we are not surprised when it comes and we understand why it comes, we can glorify the Lord in those times. We can, first of all, not give up. Amen? And we can say, Lord, I know why this is coming. And we can pray, Lord, help me to continue to serve you, continue to witness, continue to love the one that has rejected me. You know, rejection hurts, doesn't it? Especially when it's from the people that are closest to us. When it comes from those who we love the most. And that's when we need the Lord the most, don't we? Absolutely. We need the Lord the most at those times. And we can glorify Him as He helps us to love them and forgive them and still have a right attitude and a clean conscience and a loving spirit towards them. Because if we hide and keep our faith to ourselves, no doubt there's a measure of anger and bitterness and resentment in that place, is there not? But if we allow the Lord to work in our hearts, we can experience forgiveness and the joy of the Holy Spirit through those trials. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we rest in Christ, who's the one who makes us strong. And as we continue to do that through those times of rejection, our light will get brighter. Amen? Our witness will grow stronger. So this is an important part of the Christian walk, isn't it? How do we deal with that rejection when it comes? Well, we need to understand it's a certainty. We need to understand the cause. The cause is a world that has rejected the Lord. And then thirdly, we need to heed the caution of suffering. There is a warning given here in verse 15. Look there with me, the caution of suffering. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. So here the Bible warns us that we can suffer for the Lord in His will, or we can suffer for sin out of His will. So either we are suffering for the Lord as we're rejected for living a godly life, or we will suffer as a Christian living in sin. And this is another dimension of this life of facing difficulties. You see, the Bible tells us that some Christians suffer for doing right, but others suffer for doing wrong. And notice what verse 14 says. Excuse me, verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, or busybody in other men's matters. So God is saying here that it is not His will for us to suffer because of sin. Isn't that right? God wants us to grow. We will never be sinless, but He wants us to sin less often as we grow. Amen? Never be perfect, but the Lord wants to change us. And the Lord doesn't want us to experience the consequences, the suffering of sin as Christians. As Christians. He wants us to live in victory. Now, when it comes to rejection, this kind of suffering, these kind of trials, when it comes to rejection, God will always give us His wonderful grace. Amen? His grace is poured into our lives when we pray and we say, Lord, how do I deal with this situation, this workmate who's just yelled at me at work? What do I do? Lord, I just told them about You. What do I do with this family member? Well, this person I just knocked on the door. Lord, I don't like this feeling. You know, when we pray and we ask the Lord for help and we search His Word for encouragement, you know, He gives us grace. But let me say this, God doesn't give us one minute amount of grace when we choose to live in sin. He doesn't give us grace to endure the consequences of sin. You know, He allows, in fact, those consequences to unfold to remind us that sin is a problem, doesn't He? The Lord allows those consequences to take hold. The Lord doesn't promise grace to enjoy sin, but He promises grace to endure rejection. And we need to understand it's either one or the other. If we're not living for the Lord, we will be living for the world. And if we live for the world, then there's a whole different kind of suffering involved there. And that is the hard, difficult chastening of the Lord when we stray from Him. So very simply in verse 15, the Lord says, now don't be confused. There are two kinds of suffering. Sometimes we get them mixed up, don't we? We say to ourselves, oh, I can't believe the devil's doing this in my life. You know, why are things in such a mess? But the Lord reminds us here in verse 15, what we need to ask, the question David asked, you know, he said, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. You know, sometimes the problem is not those around us, sometimes it's us. Just because we're saved doesn't mean we're perfect. You know, maybe we have something that the Lord wants to work on us about. Amen? Something that He wants to deal with in our lives. Because there is suffering as a result of sin. There is suffering as a result of disobedience in our life. And we need to separate the two Am I suffering for living a godly life, or am I facing difficulties? Because really, the Lord is at the bottom of the shelf and He's trying to get my attention. He deserves to be first. Amen. The Lord promises us, as His children, He will get our attention. And He doesn't want us to suffer as a result of evil doing. Verse 16 says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." You see, there is no shame when we're rejected. Though the world may reject us, we can stand unashamed before the Lord. But when we live in sin and we suffer for it, then we can't bring glory to the Lord, can we? We just bring shame to His name. We bring shame to the gospel. But when we live for the Lord and we're rejected, though it's not easy, amen, we can still rejoice. We can still give God the glory. And by the way, the world knows how to spot a disobedient Christian. Now, it's amazing that apostasy doesn't know how to spot a disobedient Christian. But the world, the unsaved, unrepentant, Christ-rejecting world, knows how to spot a Christian who's living in sin. Absolutely. The other day I was reminded I was told about a Christian told me about this game show they were watching. And on that game show, just one of the game shows on TV, and maybe she shared it with you, I won't mention her name, but she said, "Pastor, let me tell you what happened." Anyway, she was watching this game show, and one of the contestants was a pastor. You know how they go around and they ask you, "What do you do? What's your occupation?" One of the contestants was a pastor. And the game show host was surprised and talked to him a little bit about that. I don't know the exact words that were spoken, but basically he asked this pastor, "What's your favorite kind of music?" And he said, "I like rockabilly. That's my favorite kind of music." So I had to look it up. What is that? Apparently that's like 1950s kind of rock and roll music. And definitely that would be tame in a charismatic church today. Today it's full on rock and roll and heavy metal. But you know, 1950s rock, Elvis Presley and all that, you know, all that kind of musicians included. And do you know what the host of that show said? He said this. He said, "Looks like you've got one foot in the devil's corner and one foot in God's corner, doesn't it?" And there was silence. And he didn't know what to say. What a very vivid example of how the world can see straight through someone who claims to be a Christian but is living in sin. You see, the world can spot it, and sometimes we can't. You know, the Lord knows how to get our attention, doesn't He? And let's not live for the world where we will suffer for our sins. The world will see us bringing shame to the name of Christ when we can live for the Lord and we can glorify Him. Yes, we will be rejected, but He will be glorified. He will be lifted up. That's the caution. That is the caution. Let's have 2 feet in the Lord's corner. Amen. Lastly, the conclusion of our suffering. The Bible says in verse 17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" It's very clear in this letter that God tries His people. He allows His churches to go through fiery trials. He allows us to experience difficulties. Why? So our faith can grow. Our faith can be purified. So God can show us, hey, how much faith do I really have? I might think I've got this much, but when the trial comes, I realize I've got this much. I've got a lot more growing to do. You know, and then the Bible says, if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What about those who don't know the Lord? If we as Christians will experience trials and suffering, what about those who have rejected the Lord? Well, notice verse 18. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Well, in the book of the Revelation, we'll find out where they will appear. And we don't rejoice in it. At the great white judgment throne. That's where every unsaved person will stand. And it's a catastrophic end. But let me say this, sometimes as Christians, we can be envious of the world. We can say, how come they get to live in pleasure and they get to enjoy the pleasures of the world and the lusts of the world? And as a Christian, I'm told to abstain from fleshly lusts. I'm told not to love the world. And yet they are unsaved. They're loving the world. They're living up the pleasures of the lusts of this world. And sometimes we can envy the world and sometimes we forget what the end is, don't we? Remember Asaph in Psalm 73? He says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Have you ever envied the lost? And thought to yourself, I'm being rejected. I get no thanks as a Christian. And here are these ones being applauded. They're not saved. They're prosperous. But you know, Asaph came to his... Was it Asaph? Is that right? Came to his senses, didn't he? When he saw their end. He came to his senses when he realized that their end is hell. Do you know why the Lord allows the lost to enjoy this world, the sinful lusts of this world? Do you know why? Because that's the only heaven that they will ever see. That's the only heaven that they'll ever see on this side of life. That's the only joy and the pleasure that they'll ever see. So what are we doing being envious of the lost and wanting to live like them? You know, many Christian young people are being seduced into this idea that the happy life is a life in the world. No, the world are living up the pleasures of their lust because that's all they'll have. Once their life is over, they will be in eternal torment. Isn't that right? We need to understand that is the conclusion of our suffering. One day, our suffering will end. Amen? When we see the Lord and we're called up to meet Him in the air, our rejection of from this world will end forever. In fact, forever there will be eternal joy. Forever there will be eternal peace. Those tears will be wiped away forevermore. But for the world, that's when their eternal suffering will begin. So let's not have one foot in the Lord's camp and one foot in the devil's. Amen. Let's understand these simple truths. Let's trust the Lord in verse 19 to conclude. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, the will of God, when we're rejected for our faith, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Amen. You know, God that made us knows us. He knows what we need. And He is faithful. We can trust in Him. Amen? We can trust Him. God can bring me through the fiery trials. God can bring you through the fiery trials. But we need to walk through the fire with the Son of God. We can walk in victory. Let me encourage you to commit it to the Lord and to grow. It is a certainty that we'll suffer as a Christian. The cause is a Christ-rejecting world, but we can glorify God. The caution is, don't suffer for sin, amen. Suffer for the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And then lastly, there is an end to our suffering. And let's keep our eyes on Christ.